The first reading is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. I'll give everyone a minute to find that. So that's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In the second reading, we're moving to Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 17. So that's Acts 12, 1 to 17. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover, so Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. The chains fell off of Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing. What the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed and rang back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to come. For them to be quiet, and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place.
Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? Faithfulness. As we've been singing about God's faithfulness. You know, last weekend was the Jubilee celebrations, and that was, again, a chance to celebrate faithfulness as we celebrated our Queen, who 70 years ago, as a young kind of woman in her 20s, thrust onto the throne, making promises to God to serve him and his and the people of the nation for all her life. And not surprisingly, people were queuing up to pay their respects, to celebrate her faithfulness. Faithfulness is a beautiful thing, isn't it? We rightly celebrate it. It's why we also celebrate significant wedding anniversaries. You know, Graham and Margaret are going to be celebrating their diamond wedding anniversary. That is in September. And yeah, we rightly clap, don't we? Because it's not just because it's a beautiful thing. We celebrate that sort of thing because actually it's a really rare thing, isn't it? It's increasingly rare for marriages to last like that. It's sadly rare for leaders to keep their promises like we were celebrating. And yet this rare thing is what God wants for his people, for his children. He wants our lives and our relationships to be transformed by this beautiful fruit of faithfulness. And yet so often, instead of that, actually we carry in our lives the pain of unfaithfulness, of things going wrong. And so I've been wrestling with the question this week, you know, why is faithfulness so rare? You know, if the world kind of, they reckon it was 1 billion people watching, you know, the events last weekend. If the whole world is a kind of applauding the Queen and going, yes, that's the sort of qualities we want. That's what we admire. That's what we aspire to. Why don't we see more of that in our own lives and in our leaders? Why is there so little honesty and faithfulness in business and politics? Why is there scandal after scandal? And again, this week, scandal in care homes, scandal in hospitals. Why do we see such a distinct lack of faithfulness? Why do we, so many of our personal lives display a restlessness rather than a faithfulness, relationship to relationship, even church to church? You know, why as Christians do we often neglect the faithful disciplines God calls us to? You know, prayer, reading the Word of God, telling people about Jesus, giving, serving. Why do we not see the beautiful, spirit-filled lives that God wants for us? I think it's partly because of all the fruits that we're looking at in this series, this is the one, as has already been kind of suggested in the service, is the one that just takes the longest to show its results. You can experience the love or the joy of God in a moment. It's like, oh, wonderful. But the faithfulness of God and faithfulness in our lives is seen over time. And sometimes it's a long time. You know, as Lucy was sharing, so often it's faithful, 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 and only then fruitful. And the challenge with faithful, faithful, fruitful is that that can look quite boring and ordinary sometimes. You know, to be faithfully serving week in, week out, in your home, in your workplace, in the church, faithfully praying each day, and the frustration that comes when we don't see fruit, it's so easy to give up. It takes time for fruit to come. But another problem with faithfulness is that the cost can be extremely high. You know, as we see in the lives of the Christians of the early church in Acts 12, being faithful to God was not an easy thing. I mean, for them, they were losing their livelihoods. Some of them were losing their lives. I mean, they've just had James, you know, church leader, apostle in Jerusalem, just been beheaded for his faith. Executed by Herod. This terribly hostile environment for Christians. And that can often happen in our world. We find ourselves in times where faithfulness requires a decision. You know, will I be faithful to God in this situation, in my workplace, in whatever that thing might be, or will I take the easier path? You know, sometimes the cost of faithfulness can seem too much. Am I selling it? Yeah? It's tough, isn't it? And I want to just be really honest about the fruit of faithfulness, because though the beauty of it is real and amazing, the reality of faithfulness in the everyday is rarely glamorous and often difficult. And you might wonder, why does God make it so difficult? You know, I had someone say to me last week, I'm really struggling with my faith. I just don't see God at work in this situation. Maybe you know what it is to feel like that. Why is it so hard? How can this fruit become a reality in our lives? Two things I want to talk about this morning, that if you put them together, It will guarantee faithfulness will grow in our lives. They are faith and fullness. It's going to be easy to remember that, isn't it? Faith and fullness come together to make faithfulness. You know, I believe that one of the things God wants to do for some of us today is to impart faith, where we at the moment look ahead and we just worry and are concerned about the future. And I think for some of us here as well, God wants to bring a fullness where you are feeling empty and dry. You know, the early church, they embraced this difficult path of faithfulness, and they saw God working in extraordinary ways. And God wants us to live these sorts of lives. And so firstly, we need faith. What is faith? What is faith? Well, I guess at its most basic, it's trusting, isn't it? Trusting in Jesus. But one of the challenges I see in my life and in many people's lives is that we're quite good at trusting Jesus for what has been. Yeah? For what is in the past. We can be less good at trusting Jesus for what is to come. And trusting Jesus for the past is vital. Yeah, that's what saving faith is. I'm trusting what Jesus did. He died for me. He rose again. I'm believing in him. But biblical faith is actually radically forward-looking. If we just look back with faith, we won't have the faith that we need to express faithfulness. Radically forward-looking. Hebrews 11:1 says this: faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's looking forwards, a confident expectation about the future. Romans 8:32, Paul writes this: he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? What Paul is doing there is he's trying to raise their expectations about what God is going to do in the future. He's saying, because of what God has done in the past, because God has given his son, because God loves you so much, there is no way that God will not do more, actually more, in the future. God has been faithful and he will be faithful. And that is essential when we are facing times when we cannot see the faithfulness of God. When we look and we just see darkness, where we see bleakness. I mean, that's the situation for this early church. They really needed faith. Needed faith to keep speaking, keep proclaiming Jesus. Needed faith to keep living for him and trusting him. Needed faith as things got hard. This is a serious moment. You know, one of their leaders has just been killed. And Peter has now been arrested too. Faithfulness can be very costly. How do they respond? Verse 5 says, they were earnestly praying for Peter. Why are they praying? Well, they're praying because they know that only God can do something here. Only God can break through. In fact, God has broken through twice before when Peter was in prison. But this prayer is different because they've been praying for someone else, for James. And that prayer was unanswered. You know, James is killed, he's executed. And so this prayer meeting takes place in the context of unanswered prayer, in the context of going, God, this is a mess, this is all going wrong. And so this is a prayer meeting of real faith. This is a prayer meeting that takes place even though they don't understand what's going on. There's mystery here. God doesn't always do what we ask or hope. But they pray. They probably thought, is there any point in praying, some of them? But they are so committed to God that they come together and it suggests they're praying even all night, and then they see God move in the most amazing way. You know, faith is expressed and grows as we pray, even in the face of disappointments and tragedy. But faith is also expressed in another way here. Look, in Peter, verse 6. What's Peter doing? He's sleeping. I mean, he is the night before his execution. He's shackled to these guards. And he's fast asleep. I mean, I couldn't have slept, I don't think, in that situation. How does he sleep? Well, he sleeps because he trusts God's sovereignty. He's not expecting to be released. He doesn't know the end of the story here. He is expecting to be executed. In fact, as he gets released, he assumes it's a dream. And so do the people praying for him. They're not expecting Peter to come and knock on the door. They think it's just his angel that's come. They're not expecting God to necessarily release Peter. They are trusting that whatever happens, God is in control. But that any moment, God can also break into a situation that looks impossible and completely turn it around. Amen? You know, Peter's chains fall off and he walks out of a maximum security prison. It's extraordinary. God, in a moment, changes the situation. I wonder, are you in a situation that looks impossible? Perhaps you're not able to sleep because of it. Perhaps you feel like prayer is pointless. Perhaps you feel like you're kind of knocking. The door is not being answered. Romans 12, verse 12 says this: be joyful in hope. That says, look forward with faith. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, cast your cares on him. Why? Because he really does care for you. He really cares. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is why faith is so essential to faithfulness. It's trusting that, yes, it may be hard right now, but the harvest will come. The answer will arrive. Sometimes it comes quickly, sometimes we have to wait, but there is more grace to come. You know, Nelia Leal, many of you will know, one of our members, sent a testimony to us of answered prayer this week. She's away today, but so she said I could read it. She writes this: I would like to thank you all for your prayers for me and my family. I have had lots of challenges recently, and it's been very hard. However, I was waiting and trusting in the Lord. The church family has been amazing, supporting in prayer and love, and I'm very thankful. As some of you will know, I was very ill since the beginning of April and had a lot of stress at work. I had faith that God was going to give me complete healing and that this was just a season in life, but it's not always easy to keep your faith strong in times like this. So I had to live a day at a time. On Monday, 23rd of May, my boss's wife came over for lunch and a chat, nothing formal. When she arrived, she noticed I didn't look at all well. She says, Mondays were always difficult as I use a lot of energy to go to church. We had lunch, we chatted, and just before she left, she said, let me pray for you, Nelia. As she prayed, I felt a bit lighter, but I wasn't sure. She left and I went to sleep. Later that day, I wasn't sure how I was feeling, to be honest. I'd been ill for so long that I think I got used to it. I didn't take much notice of it, but kept quiet in my heart. And then on Tuesday when I woke up, I felt normal. I couldn't quite understand how normal I was feeling. It has been so long. Since then, I haven't felt ill at all. It's like I was never ill. I praise God for bringing complete healing to me in such an amazing way. Isn't that wonderful? Nelia wanted to say thank you for praying and wanted to encourage us in our faith, that faith as small as a mustard seed can have such huge power. You know, I don't know why God has wired the world up so that harvest takes so long. You know, but I do know that that kind of works even on a physiological level. So if you injure yourself, what you need to rehab is physio, yeah, in order to rehab your injury. And many people discover physio doesn't work for them. Do you know why? Simply because they don't do the exercises. Yeah? Why wouldn't you do the exercises? Well, as such, it's really simple, but if you've ever done physio, you'll know if you do physio exercises on any given day, they make absolutely no difference, whether you do them or not. It makes you do them, no difference. Don't do them, no difference. It's only the cumulative effect of doing them day after day for weeks and actually for months that you then see the benefit, and that's how faithfulness works. It's only the cumulative effect of faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness that we then see the fruit of it. Do you know, many people never discover the wonder and beauty of a marriage that lasts for decades upon decades because the hard work of loving and serving faithfully day in, day out just doesn't seem to do very much. Many people don't discover the wonder and beauty of a deep relationship with the Lord where you can hear his voice, be led by his spirit, know his presence, because the day-to-day of praying and reading the word just doesn't seem that spectacular. And so the prospect of immediate kind of gratification with something else, or in the case of marriage, someone else, is taken instead. We're just too impatient. And so we miss out on the fruit. You know, for physio to work, what most people need is not just the exercises, but the regular meeting with the physiotherapist, which brings us briefly to our last point. Faithfulness requires faith, but it also requires fullness. You know, faith that something better is coming in the future is not actually enough for us to live the lives of faithfulness God calls us to. We need help in the day today. And remember, Galatians 5, where the fruits of the Spirit comes in the context of this battle between good and evil that is taking place in the lives of every Christian. Galatians 5:17 says that because of the sinful nature, we do not do what we want to do. We don't do the good we want to do. Do you ever find that in life? Do you ever find you've decided you're going to be good? Yeah? I'm going to be such a loving husband, loving dad in this situation. You know, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be encouraging. You go into this situation with your family, whatever it might be, workplace, 5 minutes goes by, the shouting started. Maybe this is just our home. The shouting started. You know, and it's all falling apart. Your good intentions don't survive contact with reality. Yeah? And the reason for that, the Bible says, is that there's a conflict going on in the life of every Christian that we cannot win on our own. We need God's Spirit at work in us. And yet too often we are walking around empty, trying to win battles that on our own we cannot win when God calls us to fullness in him. To come to him, you know. God is the expert. Just like that, we need to go to that physio who knows our injury, can diagnose what's wrong. We need to come to the one who knows us best, who can diagnose our problems, who can lead us to the fountain that will never run dry. You know, if you pursue faithfulness while being empty, you become just like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, living like a slave, trying to pay God back, getting angry, demanding what you deserve. That is not what Jesus intends for us. The purpose of Jesus coming and emptying himself on the cross was not simply so he could be like us in our emptiness, but so that we might be like him in his fullness. Yeah, he wants fullness for us. He died so that we might not remain as we are, but that we might become what we were always meant to be, like him. You know, on the Jubilee weekend, one of the BBC presenters was asking a royal biographer and Bishop John Sentamu, how has the Queen remained faithful all these years? What's her secret? And they both said, it's all because of her faith. You might have seen this. And then they tried to make, someone was trying to make out, oh, it's just faith, like everyone has faith. And John Sentamu is like, no. She is met with God in the person of Jesus Christ. She knows what it is to experience his love regularly. And that is the secret to her being able to show that love to others. That is supposed to be our secret. That we have a real encounter with God. You can't be like Jesus without the presence of Jesus in your life. And you might say, well, I want that. I just try and I can't do it on my own. And that's true. We're not supposed to do it on our own. In Acts 12, what do? They come together to pray. You know, one of the great gifts of God's presence is his people. We are a body. That's why it says in Hebrews, don't give up meeting together. It is vital for your spiritual health. We're a body that needs to be connected. There are some things that you can only receive in the context of the body, being with one another. And there are unique things that each of us can, only us can bring to the body. There's things for you today to receive, but there's also things for you to bring to others. Everyone loses when part of the body is missing, because that is where we experience the fullness of God. You know, the early church, they radically prioritized God's kingdom and God's people. And what happens, according to Ephesians 2:22, is that what happens is in him, you're then being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. A new temple is being formed. That's what happens when we come together in love of God and love for one another. It creates a context where God is present, where faith rises, where God is working. Do you want his fullness? I do. Do you want that meeting? That fresh filling of his Spirit, that's what I need today. Do you want to look at the future and not to kind of worry, but go, oh, I know it's hard, but I know my shepherd is with me. I know good is coming. I think we all long for that. So why don't we pray? Let's pray that faith would rise, that fullness would come, that we might be the faithful people that he's called us to be. Let's stand together if you're able. I'm just going to pray. Lord God, I simply pray that you would come and meet with us now. Lord, that we would know your help. Lord, we would know your presence. But I want to pray particularly for those who look at the future right now and they see bleakness rather than hope. If that's you, just you might also want to put your hands out in front of you, and I just want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, you are the God of promises. Lord, you have promised that you who did not spare your own son, you will not withhold all things from your children. Lord, you've promised you have good plans and purposes. And yet, Lord, we know we go through the valleys. And so for my brothers and sisters who are in the valley right now, look ahead and see bleakness rather than hope, Lord, would hope and faith rise. This is your prayer. I was praying for you yesterday, and the Lord just gave me Psalm 71, verse 20 for you. It says this: though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, this is the promise, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. Let's allow faith to rise. Lord, for those of us who feel empty, those of us who just need a fresh filling of your Spirit, Lord, you know what it is to feel like we're fighting a losing battle on our own strength. Come and breathe your life afresh. Breathe your power. Lord, give us a hunger to seek your face, to seek fullness in you. Lord, even as we worship now, come, Lord Jesus, we pray.